Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care. Working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Join us on Thursday as we explore Pet Health and Homeopathy, a show co-hosted by Homeopathy World Community founder and homeopath Debbie Bruck, and Doctor of Veterinary Medicine, author and homeopath Christina Chambreau. We invite you to comment and call in to contribute your questions. Let's go!
Founder of Homeopathy World Community. We're going to be speaking with our co-host, Dr. Christina Chambreau, a veterinary medicine doctor, and today is November 10th, 2011. We're so happy that we have her able to get off the farm in order to come in and talk with us each week. We've had quite a few sessions talking about the seven keys to the health of your pet, how to remove fleas, about hypothyroidism and vaccinations and your pets. And Dr. Christina Chambreau is an internationally known homeopathic veterinarian, author, and speaker. Her book, Healthy Animals Journal, was published in 2003. She graduated from the University of Georgia Veterinary College in 1980 and began using homeopathy in her veterinary practice in 1983. And has primarily used it since 1988. It looks like she's having some problems calling in. Hold on a minute, please, while I call her on the phone. Hello.
Yes, hi. Hello.
Yes, hello. Okay, so you're going to call in area code 347-945-6956. That is the number for guests to call into the show. Okay, so we're going to be waiting for Dr. Chambreau to call in, and we're going to go back to talking about especially homeopathy today, and I'm sure everybody's been waiting about that. There's a quote from Mahatma Gandhi, an Indian philosopher and internationally esteemed for his doctrine of nonviolent protest. It's something that we're really involved in today with Occupy Wall Street and many other revolutionary ideas going on in the world today. Mahatma Gandhi lived in 1869 to 1948, and he said, "The greatness of a nation and its moral progress can be judged by the way its animals are treated." And that's a really broad statement, and we want to know specifically how we can treat our animals humanely. And that's why we have Dr. Christina Chambreau, I'm trying to get my sound on for her, to welcome her into the show. We're going to get her in here
in a
moment. Oh,
I called
there?
In.
Yay, all righty. I got my sound to go on. And we've got a chat up and going, so people can participate either by calling into the number 347-945-6956 and ask their questions, or to go onto the live chat and participate that way. So we're very, very pleased and happy to have you with us today, continuing this series about the health of your pets and homeopathy. A lot of people have downloaded the archives. If they have not been able to participate directly during this hour, maybe they're either sleeping at another part of the world or they're out to lunch or having other kinds of meetings and such. So we're going to be talking about specifically today learning the basic principles.
Yes, we're continuing the talk about principles, which may take us several weeks, but it's so critically important because it doesn't matter whether you're using homeopathy or conventional medicine or acupuncture or something you're doing yourself, like herbs or Reiki. It's so important to understand how animals and people get ill and how they recover. For instance, a client that I spoke with this morning has a 17-year-old cat, who is doing very well in many ways. And the last time I had spoken with her about her cat was in 2003. Now, for about 10 years, off and on, we had spoken, well, maybe not 10 years, but for a number of years with this cat, there had been some urinary tract problems, sort of more infection-type things. And there had also been some vomiting and some diarrhea and some other issues. And then I hadn't heard from her from 2003 until 2011. This cat had been absolutely fine. So we'd done a very good job in getting the cat healthy. Now, occasionally something would come up, and she had shifted to a local practitioner who does acupuncture and also has a Reiki practitioner on hand. So she had been working with them for the issue where the cat was peeing either involuntarily or voluntarily, but not in the litter box.
Mm-hmm.
And even if when the cat slept in bed with her, which the cat loved to do, she would wake up to urine. Recently, she was holding the cat and petting it on the couch, and all of a sudden, pee just came out. So definitely some of the time, at least, it was involuntary. And I had prescribed a remedy, and it's been about, I had told her to give phosphorus 30C twice a day for 3 days. She misunderstood me and gave it for 10 days. She said that while the cat was on the phosphorus, it was better. Then it was, she stopped the phosphorus. The cat was totally dry for 2 days, and then had one day where it was urinating all over the place. And the next day was dry. The next day urinated maybe one place. And then this morning was dry. And she was like, well, it must not be the right remedy. I'm just really disappointed. And I said, this cat has been urinating for 1 year out of the box. 5 days is not long enough to know if you've got the right remedy. I'm expecting it to take several months to really work through this, especially in an older cat. So the more you understand, if she really deeply understood the principles of healing, she would realize that this was really good, and we're going to get more into that as we go. But if we sort of back up for a moment, the first thing we talked about was how illness progresses. First, there's an energetic imbalance that you may not even notice. It's just that sense you have that things aren't quite right, or an intuitive may be able to say the energy imbalance, you know, that there's a glitch somewhere in the energy field, or someone who can read auras may see that the aura has changed color or shrunk. And then there's a functional disturbance, which this cat used to have when it was having some bladder problems, but the cat also back then had inflammation because it actually had bladder, you know, cystitis with red cells and bacteria. So it was down into the inflammation level and then got better. So it didn't seem to progress into the pathology section. So now the cat is urinating involuntarily. This could be one of two things. It could be some pathology in the brain or in the nervous system. It could be some pathology in the sphincter of the bladder that's just letting it dribble out involuntarily. So it could be down at the deeper level of pathology, in which case we would expect it to take a long time to turn around. It might be just at the functional disturbance. We've been 8 years with no major problems. Well, this has been going on a year, so the cat went 6 to 7 years with no major problems. So we may just be at the functional level, in which case it will turn around sooner, but a year of functional problems at the deeper level of the bladder are going to take longer to heal than if it was a skin problem, for instance.
Can I ask a question here?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just because the cat is aging, is this something, this is a general health question,
mm-hmm.
can we expect our body to fail us in different organ systems naturally, or
no.
we don't? Okay, go ahead
nope.
with that.
Aging is not an excuse for anything.
Huh. Okay.
People and animals, there are people and animals who remain completely normal with no signs of aging, except a few. It seems like hair color change
mm-hmm.
to gray for people does happen with most people.
Mm-hmm.
Although the book about the five Tibetan rites actually talked about some hair turning from gray back to their natural color.
Mm-hmm.
In a few people. But when I spoke to the man who wrote it, he said, oh, that's very rare. But it's still
right.
the fact that it's possible. Just like it's going to be very rare to have cats live to be 34. But to know it's possible that at Brighthaven a cat lived to be 34 a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
just to know it's possible gives us something to shoot for better than 16 or 17. So, yeah,
I think that's true. I mean, if you take the lowest number as you think that something is small possibility on the scale, but over time we've seen runners, you know, the time
mm-hmm.
of runners or any athlete,
mm-hmm.
It always gets better, improves over the course of years,
mm-hmm.
that it becomes actually accepted.
Who would have ever thought we'd fly in space?
Right.
Who would have ever thought we could fly like a bird?
Mm-hmm.
So
we have to look at it in a different perspective, that these things that we consider to be rare occurrences can actually be commonplace.
Right. We can set those as our goal.
Okay.
So aging is not an excuse. Now, having said that, I will say that in older animals, often because of vaccines, poor diet, environmental stressors, emotional stressors, some of which are out of our control, we do develop signs of aging, and therefore it is often a little more difficult to treat animals who are older. But another example of that would be early on in my career, there was a cat who called from out of state who had been taken to the veterinarian and diagnosed with severe kidney problems. The symptoms were of severe kidney disease, vomiting, not eating, weight loss, uremic breath, dehydrated. However, this cat had to be anesthetized to draw blood. So that means you couldn't keep checking the blood work. You couldn't give IV fluids or sub-Q fluids at home. You couldn't even give IV fluids in the vet clinic without anesthetizing every 2 days. So that was not even an option for this cat. Cat was 16 years old. We put the cat on arsenicum album because the cat also had symptoms of arsenicum album. Symptoms were worse after midnight, was fearful, anxious, restless, vocalizing, thirst for small sips of water very, very frequently rather than large amounts infrequently. And we, at that time, because that was what she had, I did arsenicum album 6X, and all the cat symptoms reversed, and she stayed on 6X for 2 years. And then symptoms started coming back, so we upped it to 6C. That was for
mm-hmm.
another year. And then we did an occasional dose of 30C, or maybe we went just to 12C every day. I don't have it in front of me. And the cat lived to be 22.
Wow, so it was 16 and it gained another 6 years.
6 years, yes.
That's incredible. Yep.
And as if it wasn't old.
Mm-hmm.
So so again, you don't have to assume aging.
Okay.
But if the person I was talking to with the cat with the bladder problem really understood this energetic imbalance, functional inflammation, and tissue change or pathology, plus more of what we'll talk about in a minute, they'd be a little more patient. They wouldn't be expecting the overnight, as long as I'm on the phosphorus, the cat is better, but we don't want to stay on a remedy. Because as we talked about next, the goal of the vital force is to be balanced. When the vital force is out of balance, it produces symptoms, the urination out of the box. And what we have to find is either what's the obstacle to cure, what is she doing in the house differently that's the vital force is sensitive to, or what is it that just over the process of all these other things, the vital force has gotten weak? And remember, early on, this cat had bladder problems, so that's a sensitive area for this cat. And so what we have to do is find a similar medicine. So we want to get the remedy, and this is all in the notes, that would be number 3 in the notes, that the remedy is stronger and similar to the illness. It'll push the vital force to heal itself so that, as Hahnemann says, the disease is annihilated. The totality of symptoms will all be gone. Now, maybe we need a 200C or a 1M. Maybe we haven't gotten it strong enough yet. Maybe it's not the correct remedy, but we did have a response, which we'll see in a minute. So what we talked about earlier is that it's not something from outside that causes the symptoms. It's something from the outside that triggers a susceptible vital force to go out of balance and produce symptoms to get itself back in balance. So our job is to rebalance the energy field by finding a similar remedy. So once it's balanced, it stops making those bad symptoms. So that's our goal. The trigger does not cause the symptoms. The vital force causes the symptoms.
Okay. So the trigger speaks to the vital force. And
yes,
whether the vital force is able to find a solution to keep it in balance,
mm-hmm,
or is unable to maintain that balance. Is that
yes,
what you're
saying? And if it's unable to maintain the balance, then we need something like homeopathy, acupuncture, et cetera, to help it get balanced. Once it's balanced, it stops making the symptoms.
Mm-hmm. So we have to understand our vital force as much as possible. Can we do that?
That's the goal. Well, how do you know what the vital force is? You can't measure it directly. We can do it even a little bit directly with things like NMRs and nuclear magnetic resonance, with Carillion photography, with reading auras. So there's some slightly direct ways of reading the energy field, medical intuitives. However, Hahnemann and homeopathy give us another way of reading the energy field, the vital force, which is the totality of symptoms, not just the symptoms that are here today, but the symptoms that have been here forever, and maybe even looking at the symptoms of the parents if we know them. So our goal in finding this similar remedy, our goal is to cure, not just to get rid of the current problem, but to rebalance the energy field so the current problem goes away, plus the sensitivity to other triggers so they don't keep getting ill. So that problem doesn't come back. And little problems, those early warning signs of illness that I'm not sure we've talked about, so we may need to talk about those. The early warning signs of illness, like a little bit of goop in the corner of the eyes or a doggy odor, also go away.
Mm-hmm.
And the animal has more energy and is more emotionally stable. So we're looking for not just getting rid of a symptom, we're looking for healing the vital force so it no longer produces that symptom nor any of the little niggling things that have been going on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how we know a cure is happening or that we're moving towards a cure is that we see something happening other than merely a symptom going away. Now, sometimes, depending on the problem, you'll just see the symptom go away. Absolutely, that can happen when you find exactly the right remedy. So your dog gets kicked by the horse and is acutely painful and has a really sore rib cage and doesn't want you to touch it or even almost come near him to pet him, even though he's a friendly dog. He's like, oh, don't touch me. It hurts. I hurt. And you give Arnica. And within 2 minutes, if you've given a high enough potency so the similar disease is strong enough, within minutes, the dog is like, oh, pet me, pet me, pet me. I feel great.
Mm-hmm.
So it can go away quickly if you have the right remedy. Now, if this is a dog who really needs Bellus perennis for deep muscular bruising, Arnica will help, but not as fast and not as completely.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have quite the right remedy, it won't heal quite as deeply. So I give a couple of examples, which we can actually get to in a little bit, just to show how illnesses progress. And so with baby, came to me at 9 years of age because it was licking his belly raw, and he'd been getting steroid injections for 8 years.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now let's think about this. Something was triggering the vital force to make the belly be itchy. So he was sensitive to something that triggered his vital force to cause the itching. Now, the neat thing, actually it was a she, actually the neat thing was that after each Depomedrol injection, the symptom would go away, but it did not weaken the vital force. The vital force of baby was not susceptible to the steroid injection. Because what are side effects of steroid injection? Diabetes, liver failure, increased thirst, depression, moodiness. Baby never had any of those. Now, at this point, when I saw her, she had to get steroid injections every 6 weeks because her vital force, trying to rebalance itself, would cause the skin problem again. 6 weeks. First, it took it a year or so, 6 months, 3 months. Now it was down to every 6 weeks. So I knew I had a good chance of healing this cat because she was not that susceptible to drugs. She wasn't ill with other things. She didn't have a deep inside illness. It was a skin ailment. So I gave her, it took me 6 months to find the right homeopathic remedy. And
6 months?
Uh-huh, 9 months, actually, before I cleared up her skin. She'd been having problems for 8 years. It takes approximately 1 month of healing for every year of illness.
Okay.
So it took me 9 months before being on a raw meat diet and finding the right remedy finally cleared her. Sometimes I find the remedy sooner. She could have been cured maybe sooner, but it might have just taken that long for her vital force to begin to heal itself. And then, so from age 10 to 17, she never licked her belly raw again.
That is a real accomplishment, considering that animal was on steroids for so long.
Mm-hmm.
So do you deal directly with the fact that maybe the steroids were causing all of these side effects, or
look
at the symptoms?
No, the point I made was that in this cat, there were none of the side effects.
Oh, there were none of the side
effects.
The
only thing this cat had was licking her belly raw.
Okay.
And at first, it was every year, then every 6 months, then every 3 months, now every 6 weeks. So she was getting the steroid injections once a year, then every 6 months, then every 3 months, you know, ever increasing frequency. But she did not develop any of the side effects. So that's why I knew it would be easy to treat her. because the vital force was only sensitive, whatever it was sensitive to, it was healthy enough to keep the symptoms on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And if we look at what we talked about earlier, with baby, she was keeping it at the functional to inflammatory level. It never got down to deep pathology or tissue changes. So therefore, I knew it would be easier to treat.
Okay.
Now, she also got sick twice when other cats in the house got sick, once with an upper respiratory and once with a fever of unknown origin. And
so
that's a good thing. When you're healthy, when your vital force is healthy, it is very responsive. So mm-hmm. it responds to triggers. In this case, the fever and the upper respiratory were a stronger illness and not like her vital force. So she then got triggered to have those symptoms, but they resolved on their own with no treatment.
Hmm.
So it's good. James Kent said it's a good idea to take a homeopathic remedy once a year just for fun.
Just for fun?
Well, that wasn't quite what he said. But he said
take any
remedy. It doesn't matter which one. Take a few doses of it. It just gives your vital force a push. It gives a dissimilar disease, more than likely. And so your vital force has to react to that. And that's good. It stirs it up and makes it start thinking again.
It sounds interesting. That could be a show in itself, because I think that we have so many sensitivities and triggers today already that we're getting stirred up so much that why would we do that again? I want to let you know we have only a minute or so left if you want to end at 30 minutes. So you can either close up at any point, just give me the signal.
Okay.
Or we can keep going. It's up to you.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and go through the progression of healing that happens. So what we've spoken about is we've talked about the progression of illness, and now we're going to look at progression of healing. So,
okay.
So we have the similar energy patterns. Actually, I'm sorry, I take that back. What we're going to talk about next is you asked the question at the beginning of the hour, how do you know what this vital force is? And I said it's by the totality of symptoms, right?
Right.
So now, how do we get those totality of symptoms? In homeopathy, it's called case taking. So what we're going to want to do is find out all the symptoms that the person or the animal has ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And then after we get this list of symptoms, we're going to evaluate which symptoms are most important. And then we're going to look up in a book called The Repertory, which is an index of symptoms. We're going to see if we can find the symptom, which symptoms on our list can we actually find in the repertory.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of the symptoms has remedies associated with it that in provings or clinical trials or in practice actually cured those symptoms. So that's then how we're finding the match. We're looking for which remedies show up most frequently for the symptoms that this particular animal is showing now and has shown in the past. And then when we've narrowed it down to two or three or maybe even 10 remedies, we read about them in the Materia Medicas, which are books about the remedies. Some of them, like Boracay, have 1 to 4 pages on each remedy. Some, like Herring, have anywhere from 2 or even 1 page up to 200 pages for Lycopodium. So you can read in much more depth to see which of these remedies matches this animal the best. And then we look at what strength do we give. That's called posology. So what strength of remedy do we want to push the vital force with? Because remember, in curing with similar diseases or dissimilar diseases that we've talked about, you want one, the only way the vital force responds is if it's stronger than it is. So you want the treatment to be stronger than the vital force. The vital force gets sick when the trigger is stronger than it is, than the vital force is. So with
it's, it's stronger, but it will not injure the ill organism, the pet or
whatever. Homeopathy cannot injure, you're saying?
Well, you're saying, you know, just as a novice, if a novice heard that you're going to give a trigger that's going to be stronger than the disease that the person or the animal is already having, it sounds, well, I'm already in such pain. Why would I want to have something stronger?
Right. And the reason is that understanding of similar diseases, that in order to cure at the energetic level, you need to give a push that's strong enough to actually do something.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a really if you have a fast runner and you could put up, a fast runner carries with him a lot of force, so you could put up not just a ribbon at the end for him to break through, but you could have a really thick rope, and a fast runner would probably break through that rope. Whereas if you had somebody that was barely jogging or just walking, they wouldn't be able to break through a rope. They might not even break through a ribbon.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a disease that's as strong as a rope, you need to have the remedy be a fast runner in order to break through that rope.
Okay.
So it's an important piece, finding the right remedy, but also finding the right strength or frequency to give it. Next, once you've given the remedy, how do you know whether it's helping or not? If the symptoms go away, some people think, yay, it's working. Like this gal with the cat who had inappropriate urination, she was excited. She said it's working, but she was basing that on, while I'm giving it, it's working, and then things got worse when I stopped giving it. So that's why you have to understand cure, palliation, and suppression, because those are the different ways, regardless of the treatment you give, there's only a limited way that the vital force responds, that the energy field responds, whether you're using drugs, surgery, Chinese medicine, chiropractic, or homeopathy.
So the three ways that it can that the vital force can respond would be either healing through cure, palliation, which is not healing, it's just dealing with immediate pain or crisis, and then suppression, which is pushing it down so you don't see the symptoms anymore, but they might be doing something in another part of the body.
Right, usually a more serious part, more important part of the body.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we'll go into more details on all of these.
Okay.
So that's the overview. First, you need to understand how the animals get sick, the functional inflammatory, and tissue pathology, that you've got an underlying energy field imbalance, we call the vital force in homeopathy, that's sensitive to something. When it's triggered, it produces symptoms to attempt to rebalance itself. In order to impact this vital force that's making these symptoms, you have to find a remedy through case-taking, to find a remedy that matches the energetic pattern and is a little bit stronger than the energetic pattern. And then you give the remedy and carefully evaluate the response.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It sounds very good and very clear.
So it's pretty simple. You know, a lot of people say homeopathy is so complicated. And yet really, here's what we're doing. We're making a list of symptoms. We look them up in a book. We narrow down the remedies that are in common. We find the remedies that are common to each of the symptoms we've looked up. And then we pick one of those remedies. And if we get the wrong one, it's okay, because we'll pick another one. So you pick a remedy carefully, and you pick the potency. And then you carefully evaluate the response to the treatment. And that then determines if you do a different remedy, repeat the same remedy, and those are really your own, or just wait. So that's how simple it is. Now, it can take a lot of time, but the these basic principles are much easier for me to understand than Chinese medicine, for instance, where is it heat flowing and is there a blockage? Is there a buildup on this side? Is it a weakness? Is it a yin? Is it a yang? Is it a, to me, homeopathy is so much more straightforward. So that's why I'm excited about people learning more about it.
Okay, well, we're going to have to get the word out that you are speaking out here on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio each Thursday at 1 o'clock, and we're so thankful that you're doing this. If anybody wants to write a blog about what you're talking about and put the widget of this radio show onto their website or their blog page, that would be great. Get other people to find out about it in Twitter, put it on Facebook, share it on MySpace, wherever there's a social network or stumble upon social bookmarking. Go ahead and let others know that Dr. Christina Chambreau is here and available. You want to talk about, just tell people your website so they know where to contact you?
My website is myhealthyanimal.com, so that's easy to remember. And if you aren't sure if it's animal or animals, it doesn't matter. It's either one. I've got both of them. So myhealthyanimal.com. And we're going to, next week, we'll move into each of these aspects. So we'll start next week talking about case-taking for animals. What does it take? And so next week, we'll actually, I'll ask Deborah some questions about one of her animals, to show how we ask these questions. And that's probably what we'll cover next week, is the case taking. And just as a reminder, whether you do it on your own or you purchase my book, The Healthy Animals Journal, taking the case is getting the list of symptoms that you're going to start with in your journaling. And then you do a treatment and you track all of the symptoms. So the key is to focus on, or is to make sure you're tracking all of the symptoms that we've elicited through the case taking, and always write down, for every symptom you're tracking, write down something fun and wonderful and sweet that your animal did as well. Because what you focus on is what you get.
Oh, boy. So we need to learn how to look at the positive as well as all the negative, and this is something that needs to homeopaths aren't familiar with that kind of an approach, that mindful approach.
Actually, a lot of them are. There's a lot of them out there that when I mention this and bring it up, they say, oh, yeah, I do that with my patients or my clients. And then finally, for the few that are listening to this today or tomorrow, tomorrow is 11-11-11. It's a very auspicious day. It's a day to think about what you want to manifest in your life, for yourself, for your animals, for the planet, for your local community, and shout it out loud, what you want to have happen. There are many people that are channeling tomorrow. There are groups that are meeting in different places. In Bel Air, Maryland, I'm going to one. A friend of mine's channeling in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. Someone told me today that there'll be something online by this man who travels around the country doing Qigong workshops that bring in 500 people or more each time.
Wow, I should be there.
Right.
How
I
want
to go to the next
one. You're going to the next one? Let me know about it.
I will. I'll try to find out. I don't know. She's going to tell me when he comes next.
Okay.
So when I find out about it, I will pass it on. But just at least be aware that 11-11-11 is a day of deep connecting around the world. So just stay focused and pay attention tomorrow. So we'll talk next week about case taking.
That sounds wonderful. Thanks again. Until next time.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Pet Health and Homeopathy on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio with homeopaths Debbie Brook and Dr. Christina Chambreau. We encourage you to follow our show, click the reminder button to receive email notices when show airs, share with friends on Facebook and Twitter, and send in your comments and questions. See you next time!